Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Let's get it
started. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And what is up, Xander?
Not much, Bub. We had another good week. We're getting into the swing of things with football. We got about a couple weeks left of baseball, big playoff race, and we have a lot of good stuff to talk about today.
Yep, and of course we did have a good week, and we're going to continue to have a good week because that's what we do. We're pretty good handicappers and try to keep the emotion out of it like we do in trading. But I guess some of the things to talk about first would be one of the worst football games in history on Thursday night. But Bill Belichick does it again, and I don't think it's any surprise. The guy is phenomenal, and I think he had the coach that used to work for him, who's Houston coach, what the hell's his name?
Bill O'Brien.
I think he had O'Brien like crapping in his pants, and I think it worked out perfect because O'Brien had a lousy game plan. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was almost as bad as watching the Rams and the 49ers in week one. I mean, you think a team coming out with a third string rookie quarterback who was not supposed to play a single down, probably for most of his career, I mean, came to that game and actually looked pretty damn good. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, it sucks. He actually did get injured, tore a ligament in his thumb, but did exactly what Bill Belichick asked him to do. Ended up with, I think, a 35-yard rushing touchdown. And the Patriots just completely dismantled the Texans, and it was embarrassing from a football fan perspective to see the Texans come out against a rookie QB like that, who, was a fourth-round pick with, one of the most daunted defensive lines in the league, and just lay an absolute egg. I mean, Brock Osweiler looked terrible. Lamar Miller was not great. I mean, but it's tough when you can't throw the ball. It makes it a lot tougher for the running back. But, I mean, the whole game was garbage. And then just from a Texans perspective, it just speaks to the genius of Bill Belichick. I mean, I would have to say, after last night's performance and watching him coach the Patriots for the past 15 years, I think I'd put him on the top list of all-time coaches in football that has ever been a part of the game. I mean, year in and year out, the only constant in Bill Belichick's tenure there has been Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But the fact that every year the guy does nothing but win 10-plus games, and even when Tom Brady was out that one year, Matt Cassel, who, if you saw him on the Vikings a couple years ago, looked like one of the worst quarterbacks I had ever seen. They went 11-5 that year. They didn't make the playoffs, but I mean, you go 11-5 in an NFL season, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, Bill Belichick is just an absolute genius, and whenever I watch a Patriots game, I'm not necessarily a Patriots fan. I'm kind of indifferent, but I just feel like they always had that edge, no matter who's playing. Even if Julian Edelman got under center that night, it just was bad news bears for the Texans, and they could do nothing. LeGarrette Blount had another monster game. He's actually a top 5 fantasy player right now. So, I mean, another show of brilliance from Bill Belichick. And if he told me the Patriots were going to start 4-0 without Tom Brady, I would have said probably not, but now it's just going to be cruise control for the rest of the year after they figure out who they're going to start under center this week.
Oh, maybe they'll put Edelman back there. Well, they'll pick somebody above a waivers. I think they signed Whitehurst anyway. I'm not sure, but yeah, at the end of the day, and maybe Garoppolo will be back. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I mean, they're 3-0 without Tom Brady, and they're a good 3-0. I mean, they basically kicked the crap out of everybody they played. which just goes to show you, to your point of Bill Belichick's defense. What did you think about Austin Seferian Jenkins? I knew he was in problems. It's funny, someone had called me from down there and told me before the season, don't draft him. And of course, Richie drafted him anyways. But I mean, what do you think about that? You know, he gets cut because he's got a drinking problem. Now he's gone. Does somebody else take a shot at him? I mean, he's a big monster, or is he?
Yeah, somebody definitely will take a shot at him. Disappointing career so far. I mean, last year, if you remember, week one, called in two touchdowns, looked like he was going to have an absolute monster season. I mean, he is a monster. I think that guy is about 6'7 or 6'8. But, you know, this is disappointing. I mean, there are reports that this guy had problems all the way back in college at Washington. And, you know, to get a DUI, you know, especially in the NFL, it's kind of unacceptable. I mean, with all the, you know, the things that you can do to receive help, and not only receive help, but, you know, call somebody up, tell them to take you home. It's disappointing because this guy has so much talent.
Call Uber.
Yeah, call Uber. Call somebody.
I mean, is it not stupid or what? I mean, I don't understand it. But I'll tell you what. How about this? The most dangerous profession in the world right now is being a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
You know what? You know, Josh McCown, you know, actually came in and it was having a pretty good game. And Corey Coleman, the rookie from the Browns, hauled in two touchdowns, and McCown ends up getting injured. And now this week they're going to start Cody Kessler, a rookie from USC, who, you know, I don't know if he's going to cut it, but, I mean, the Browns is where – Cleveland is where quarterbacks go to die, and it's ugly out there. I mean, they look like they're poised to have another, you know, 2-14 kind of season because they're just not getting it done. But they did do everything in their power to try to come back in that game. Baltimore looked like they wanted to give the game away. But they did end up covering. That was your pick. We had them. We had Cleveland at +6, so they did end up covering. And we also had Houston last week, -2.5. They ended up winning by 7. And if you sided with the veteran presence in Bubba in the Vikings game, it came out on top. You were right. Aaron Rodgers looked like crap. Has actually been playing like crap over the past 16 games. I mean, they did a statistical comparison with him. And he's basically done the same things on the field as Blaine Gabbert. We all know, you know, how Blaine Gabbert's NFL career is gone. But, I mean, you nailed it right on the head. Aaron Rodgers just looked awful. You know, even with Jordy Nelson back. And the Vikings, even though they lost Adrian Peterson, which is a big blow to them, they still came out and won that game, I'd say, pretty handedly. The Packers did not look very good. And you got to give a lot of credit to the Vikings, who I think are the clear-cut favorite to me right now in the NFC North.
Well, if Sam Bradford can stay healthy, they will be a clear-cut favorite. But that son of a bitch, he got hurt. I mean, he's played, but he broke his hand or hurt his hand, and you know, you could see him holding it. I think, you know what's funny? You know, like markets, injuries and age never announce themselves. And you know what? Rodgers may be just worn out. I mean, I like him. He's a great guy. I think he's a good ambassador for the game, but he may just be worn out. He's been pretty brutal for the last, as you said, 16 games. He is not the Aaron Rodgers that we're used to seeing. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And, of course, the Detroit Lions continue their same crap as usual. They can't win a big game. And then when they do get in a roll, I think they had like 7 touchdowns called back last week. I mean, just ridiculous when you watch.
I was watching one of their drives, and two consecutive plays they scored. And they got penalties, and they got called back. But, I mean, that was unacceptable. For the Lions, I mean, they were playing so good. They were playing so good on defense, you know, 3 points in the first three quarters, and they end up giving up 13 to Mariota and the Titans in the fourth to lose 16-15. I mean, those are the kind of games that you need to win, especially against a Titans team. I don't think it's very good. I mean, nothing at the Lions, I don't think are very good either, but those are the type of games you need to win. You're up, you know, you're up 2 scores going into the fourth. You need to find a way to shut it down.
Well, those are the games that you got to win, because those are the games that get you to the playoffs, because that's a game you should have won. This is the Sporting Edge with the Xander Man and Bubba, and we're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and get a download of not only the Sporting Edge, but the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back.
Last bite. You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, so, you know, we had some, I think, sad news. I mean, I always liked the kid, but Chris Bosh, I got to pass it physically. He's missed the last half of the last 2 years because I think it's a lung problem or a circulation problem. It looks like his career may be over, and he was really, you know, out of the big three, I mean, he was the quietest, but I think he was actually probably as good as any of them as part of the big three. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Chris Bosh has been a really fun guy to watch over his career. You know, definitely one of the top 10 power forwards of this era, I think. And this is a really sad case because, you know, the guy's health, you know, he really wants to get back on the court, but, you know, the doctors just can't let him do it yet. I mean, the last thing that, you know, anybody wants to see is a death, you know, on a professional sports venue. And that's what they really fear here. I mean, the guy has had some major blood clot problems for the past few years. He's actually missed the second half of the last two seasons. And, you know, for him not to pass this physical, it's really sad news because, you know, the guy can still play. He still wants to play. You know, has been begging, you know, to take these blood thinners that could possibly reduce clots. But, I mean, the fear there is then, you know, the guy gets a cut, and it's just when your blood's that thin, I mean, bad stuff can happen when, you know, you're on some sort of medication and, you know, an unexpected thing happens. And that's basketball, say what you want, it's a pretty physical game, especially, you know, being a power forward or center, a lot of stuff that can happen. So really sad news. I mean, Chris Bosh is a great guy, and I think, you know, first and foremost, I mean, he has a family, he has five kids, so he's still got a lot to look forward to in life, and I really hope they find a way to get him back on the court. But, I mean, the way it's looked the past couple of years and the way it's looking, you know, in the future, I really don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, it's sad to see, but I'd much rather see him live out the rest of his life in peace than, you know, possibly have a catastrophic thing happen on the court. But, I mean, it's hard for me to say that on the sidelines. I mean, Chris Bosh is, you know, is a great competitor, won multiple championships in the NBA, is a great guy for the game, on and off the court. And, you know, this is just an unfortunate situation, but sometimes that's what happens. You know, no matter how good a shape you're in, you know, things can always happen to your body, and he happens to be one of those people who has a pretty serious condition that, you know, nobody can seem to figure out right now.
So, we have to bring this up. I really don't want to, but I'm going to do it anyways. Steve Clevenger from the Mariners, it got suspended for tweeting some, I guess, racial or whatever. I had not read one tweet, but I did read about it. Did you check it out into it at all? Do you know anything about it? And what did you think?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about it. I read one of the tweets. You know what?
I think pretty stupid.
Professional athlete, you gotta go on.
Pretty stupid, right?
Just stupid. I mean, you're a professional athlete. You're put on such a pedestal, and literally everything you do is tracked. It's monitored. I mean, I don't care if you're, you know, if you're LeBron James, you're Steve Clevenger. I mean, you're a professional athlete. Basically, your whole life is broadcast to everybody, and this was just, you know, it was unnecessary. I mean, you know, you can have whatever opinion you want, but I thought it was unnecessary for him to blast it across social media. And, you know, he's going to get suspended for the rest of the year by the Mariners. And, you know, they came out right away and said, you know, we completely disagree with what he said. And I think they were right to do so. I mean, there's just no place for it to, you know, especially for a guy like that to, you know, broadcast that kind of mantra over social media. And I mean, this is basically the biggest thing he's done since getting traded for Jake Arrieta, which is sad to say, hasn't really done much on the field recently. But, you know, my overarching thought is that it was unnecessary. There's no place for it, and, you know, he's going to pay the price for it.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I always wonder, and that's, listen, I warned you about that from the time you've played with social media, that whatever you put on there, everybody's going to read it, and nothing good ever comes from putting something on social media. That's the real point of the matter. It's just stupid, and unfortunately, he's stupid, and hopefully he doesn't get to play again, because you know what? If you're that dumb, you don't deserve to play. You don't deserve to wear a uniform if you're going to be that dumb. I mean, that's just, to me, my opinion. I mean, again, I'm an old, opinionated old guy anyway, so... But if you're going to be that stupid, you don't deserve to wear a professional uniform, because professional is not only about playing the sport, but it's about being the ambassador for the game as well. And, you know, that is one of the things that you have to love about Michael Jordan, is not only was he the greatest player of all time, but he was probably one of the best ambassadors for the game as well. No matter what, he had plenty of things he was pissed off about, but he never let it get into the media. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, man, Michael Jordan, like I said, is a great example. You know, he did so many things, obviously, on the court. You know, he's probably the greatest player of all time, but also did a ton of stuff off the court. He's still heavily involved in the league. I mean, he's, you know, like the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. So he's still doing a lot of big things. But, you know, I think we got to segue into some college football here. I mean, we had a very exciting week three. And, you know, I hate to say it, but we were dead wrong on the Louisville-Florida State game. That was one of the most lopsided games I have ever seen. And I got two words for you. It's Lamar Jackson. This guy is the clear Heisman frontrunner right now. I mean, coming in and beating Florida State by 43 points, this guy put on an absolute show. He's got 913 yards passing, 460 yards rushing, and 18 touchdowns in only the first three games of the season. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And like I said, is definitely the favorite for the Heisman after 3 weeks of play.
Can't I blame it on the officiating?
I don't know if you can blame this one on the officiating.
No, that game was over almost from the first drive. You could see, I believe, if I remember correctly, they drove down, scored a touchdown. Florida State drove down, got stopped, missed a field goal. And then they drove down again, scored a touchdown. Florida State did get a field goal the next time. But Francois, whatever his name is, was totally outmatched. And so was Florida State. And it is... Obviously, a lot of times we play on the name of the school and remember how good they were, but Louisville is by far up there now. Whether the real test will be in the next couple of weeks is if they can maintain that type of play, but certainly they look like a playoff contender against Florida State.
Right, and you know, we talked about at the start of the year, you know, the ACC conference, I think the two big dogs were Florida State and Clemson, and talked about Louisville kind of being a dark horse, kind of having an outside shot, but I truly didn't believe that they had, you know, they had the kind of team to do it. But I mean, after seeing what they did to Florida State, that wasn't even a game. It was an absolute blowout. And I think you made a good point. The next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll see, you know, is there going to be any hangover? I don't know. I mean, is Lamar Jackson going to keep up this absurd pace that he's on? Probably not. But you know, if he's even half as good as he's been so far, this Louisville team is going to win a lot of games. And I think it comes down now in the ACC to Louisville and Clemson, who Clemson actually picked it up, looked like a real football team, and won 59-0 last week. But, you know, I think the theme of college football so far has been these mid-major FCS, whatever you want to call it, teams playing these insanely close games. I mean, Wisconsin, on their home turf, almost got beat by Georgia State, who I think it was a 35-point spread. I mean, they won 23-17, but a pretty ugly game by Wisconsin. And also, North Dakota State, the cream of the crop in the FCS, they came in and beat Iowa 23-21, and Iowa was a 14.5-point favorite. I mean, Bub, the North Dakota State is one of the best programs, I think, in college football. When you look at the level they play at, they've been a powerhouse in the FCS for, you know, 5 or 10 years now. It's been a long time. They win national championships, it seems like, almost every year. But, I mean, this is embarrassing for Iowa. I mean, on your home field, getting beat by an FCS team, you know.
Well, Michigan got beat by Appalachian State. Look, you know what? Here's the real deal. These teams are now getting better because, A, kids are finally realizing that they don't have to go to Michigan, they don't have to go to Ohio State, because now, you know, you just saw the number two pick in the draft, Carson Wentz, and he's performing at a very high level in the NFL right now. I mean, it's only two games in, but, you know, now, see, finally people realize that you don't have to be at the big schools. You can get your goal and play and have an opportunity if you go to some of the smaller schools. So I think some of the talent is now moving to some of these smaller programs, and of course they're starting to be much more competitive in the long run. And I think that is really the case when you look at this, because I think it will be a lot more competitive over time, because again, you're going to see a lot of guys going to say, hey, you know, I can get to the pros by going to North Dakota State or going somewhere else. This is the Sporting Edge. We are with Xander and this is Bubba, and we're going to stop by here for a break. But in the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download of the Sporting Edge every Saturday, and make sure you check it out, as well as the Bubba Show. We'll stop by here for a break. The Sporting Edge will be right back with Xander and Bubba.
Mm-hmm. trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, of course, we got to do some of our selections for the fans. And you know, I have a game that I like. I think that I'm a big backer of Arkansas this week against Texas A&M, getting the 6 points. I think they win that game straight up. And then another game I was looking at, Wisconsin, the Pigs, who almost couldn't beat Georgia Southern, against Michigan State, who looked awfully good last week. What's your call of that game?
I'm a big fan of Michigan State in this one. I mean, I thought they played a terrific game against Notre Dame last week. I mean, gave up 28 points, but you know what? They came out, they won that game, and it was actually really funny watching the end. Third down, decided to throw the ball instead of trying to run out the clock more. Very ballsy play. They converted the first down, and the best clip was Brian Kelly looking at his defensive coordinator, basically saying, what are you doing? What's going on here? Notre Dame's 1-2 right now. It seems, you know, their playoff hopes, I think, are completely shut out. Michigan State, though, you know, number 8 team in the country, I think they're going to absolutely give it to Wisconsin. Wisconsin did not look ready to play last week. I know they had a backup quarterback in, but they just looked like garbage against a team that I thought they were much better than, and that was reflected in the 30-point-plus spread. I think Michigan State at home, I think they absolutely jam it down Wisconsin's throat. I think they win by 20-plus this week.
So the picks for this week are Arkansas that wins straight up as a dog and a small favorite in Michigan State, and, of course, now it's time for the National Football League, and Jesus, the injuries are mounting everywhere. We already talked about the quarterbacks, and I mean, there's guys going down. Adrian Peterson down again. What a sad thing that is. And what do you think of last week's action? There's some decent games, but some pretty cruddy games as well.
Yeah, you know, it was a mixed bag of stuff. But again, you know, I hate to say it was against my Bears, but Carson Wentz again came out there and did the exact job that he was supposed to do. I mean, the Eagles, 29-14, the game could have been about 50-7. I mean, it was just that kind of game. The Bears were ugly. They were atrocious yet again. Jay Cutler left the game, but you got to give a lot of credit to Carson Wentz, man. I mean, the guy from not starting a Division I game, you know, being the second pick in the draft, the guy has looked pretty damn good. I know he only threw for 190 yards, but I mean, this Eagles team is 2-0. They're riding high, and he's just been very impressive so far. Another guy we talked about last week was Jimmy Garoppolo. Really hate to see him get injured last week. Went down really hard on that shoulder, but he left the game with 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. And the Patriots were the ones this time to try to puke this game up. But, I mean, he looked fantastic. You know, like I said, we talked about the Patriots before. Off to a 3-0 start. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott came into Washington, got his first win. Another very impressive performance from him. You know, we talked about the Steelers-Bengals being a great game. That ended up being 24-16 in favor of the Steelers. D'Angelo Williams continues to be, you know, that lead powerhouse back in place of Le'Veon Bell. And that just makes me beg the question, you know, what a sight to see would it have been, you know, for D'Angelo Williams to have his own backfield throughout his entire career instead of having – to share it with Jonathan Stewart. I mean, the guy is the number one player in fantasy right now and continues to get 30-plus touches a game. I mean, he's really fun to watch. Texans beat the crap out of the Chiefs. But, you know, the most interesting game of the week for me was, again, Seahawks-Rams. The Seahawks just can't figure out St. Louis. I don't get it.
It's amazing. Jeff Fisher could be the coach of the year. He could play the Seattle every week because they don't have much of an offense either. And of course, every year they run them down. And of course, then St. Louis will get, or no, it's Los Angeles now. Excuse me. They'll get overrated going in. And of course, they play Tampa Bay this week, and you know, certainly overpriced because of their efforts last week. I mean, they didn't look very good either. I mean, what was the final? 9-3. Was that the final?
9-3. I mean, they're 1-1, and they still haven't scored an offensive touchdown. I mean, that tells you anything about how brutal watching those games has been. But I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, and this. You know, more than the Rams winning that game, I think we're starting to see the decline of the Seahawks. I know the Seahawks have always had trouble with the Rams, but you know, they just haven't looked very good so far. You know, I think, you know, missing Marshawn Lynch is a big piece. He was always a big part of that team. Russell Wilson's been dealing with some injury problems, but, you know, this defense to me just doesn't look as dominant as it used to. I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, they were on par with, like, you know, say an Alabama, you know, kind of defense. Just nobody could really move the ball against them, and they kind of are slipping into mediocrity again. And I think, you know, I don't think they're going to win their division. Like I said, you know, the Cardinals have been my pick since last year, and they came out and beat the crap out of the Bucks 40-7. Carson Palmer looked unreal. But, you know, I think the Seahawks are in for a little bit of trouble this year. You know, I don't think they haven't really found a rhythm, and I don't really see them finding it soon unless Russell Wilson starts playing like an MVP again.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, again, I like Russell Wilson. I you know, I don't believe that, you know, Doug Baldwin can repeat last year's performance. You know, he don't have much there. And, of course, Tyler Lockett's going to be iffy right now. So pretty rough. But, you know, as we look forward into this week's card, you know, I was looking at the Arizona-Buffalo game. Arizona now travels to Buffalo, which is always an issue for an early game because of the time change. But Arizona is a 4-point favorite over the Bills. I think the Bills are totally lost. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, it's the game seems a bit underpriced here. I mean, 3.5 points. Cardinals, I think, are 10 times the team that the Bills are, but I'm gonna have to go with it. I like the Cardinals here, and not only do I like the Cardinals, but the Bills, I mean, they looked like absolute garbage. And, you know, the firing we talked last week of the offensive coordinator was a complete scapegoat move, you know, whether it be by the front office or Rex Ryan, it really doesn't matter. But, I mean, this team has looked pretty bad, and I think the Cardinals are on a mission. Bruce Arians, the Blues brothers, they're on a mission from God. I think they're going to kick the crap out of the Bills. You know, and I would gladly, you know, 3.5 points is always tough. But I don't think this game comes down to that half point. I think, like, 14.5 is a better number in my mind. So I would love to take the Cardinals here. I think Carson Palmer's clicking on all cylinders. And I don't care what Rex or Rob Ryan throws at Carson Palmer. I think he's just a better player, and they got a better offense than Buffalo has a defense. And schematically, you know, it doesn't really matter what the Bills do, because I just think they're a team that's in disarray. And, you know, that they haven't really shown any signs of life so far this year.
Well, and another guy who hasn't shown any life this year, who was, you know, the big offseason talk was Kirk Cousins. And, of course, he's been abysmal in his first two starts. And, of course, they go to the Giants. And the Giants managed to win, but it was amazing that New Orleans Giant game was a brutal game from an offensive standpoint. But yet the Giants did come out and win the game. They're a 4.5 point favorite over Washington this week at New York. What are your thoughts?
I love New York's my best bet of the week this week. You know, it was amazing last year, the Saints Giants game, they scored over 100 points, and I think it took them almost 12 minutes to score in that game. But I really like Eli Manning and the Giants. I thought they were going to win this division at the start of the year. And like you said, Kirk Cousins has been brutal so far. I mean, and there's a lot of talk inside the locker room, I guess, that people aren't happy with what he's been doing. And I wouldn't be either. I mean, I thought Kirk Cousins was going to progress this year. I mean, say what you want. I mean, the guy had an unbelievable year last year. You know, after the year before stepping in for RG3 when he got injured, you know, he's really played the part of an NFL quarterback, but this year just hasn't really gotten it done. And I think the Giants, on the other hand, are a team that's on the rise. I think Ben McAdoo has done a great job so far. Eli Manning, you know, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick through 2 games. doing his job, not really turning the ball over. Sterling Shepard is a great young receiver for the Giants, and it's great to see Victor Cruz back out there. I mean, it's been almost 2 years since the guy has been healthy. And, of course, you got, you know, probably the best receiver in the league in Odell Beckham. And the running game has always been suspect. I mean, I don't think the Giants have had a true running back since Tiki Barber, but, you know, they've always seemed to get it done on the offensive side of the ball. And in Eli Manning the past 2 years, I mean, I think he just keeps getting better and better. So I love the Giants in this game, especially at home, a division game. Now, that's the only thing that worries me. I mean, usually division games, no matter how big of a discrepancy there is between the teams, they always find a way to make it close. But I just don't see it happening this week. I think the Giants, you know, whether they blow them out or not, I think they cover pretty easily. And I'm predicting like a 28-13 kind of a final.
Well, I mean, you know, and going back to Kirk Cousins real quick, McDown had a great year 1 year. Backups always have a good year. I don't think he's any more than a backup quarterback. You know, I thought he was going to be better, but he's showing now, in my opinion, his true colors. And, you know, that's life in the big city. And, you know, hey, you know, it happens. And, you know, not everybody can be a star. But I think the Cowboys playing the Bears this week, I don't like laying the number, but I think the Bears are awful. Cutler is hurt again, which is, you know, I don't know why they signed the son of a bitch back anyways, but any quick thoughts there in that game?
You know, and I think I would sit on the sidelines for this one. I really, you know, hate the number. You know, it's tough for me to lay 7 with the Cowboys, you know, especially with the way they've been moving the ball. I think Dak Prescott's done a pretty damn good job, but, you know, I don't think they're a very explosive offense, and, you know, not that the Bears are either, but I could easily see the Bears winning this game, you know, just by chance, but I think I would sit this one out. I don't like laying 7. But, you know, if I'm going to bet on the Bears, I think I want a little more than 7.
Bears, in my opinion, the Bears have no chance. They suck, and that's just the way it goes. But so we've got two pro picks. We've got the Arizona Cardinal laying 4, and we've got the New York Giant laying 4.5. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. We'll be back after the break, The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, obviously the baseball, we've got one more week to go as we wind him down. And, of course, still some pretty good races. And we've got...
I don't know about that. They're kind of all falling apart. I think the closest race is about 5 games. We're back.
No, I mean for the wild card. Excuse me. For the wild card.
Better.
You know, we've got virtually a 3-way tie in the National League for the wild card. San Francisco, the Mets, and St. Louis. And in the American League, all of a sudden, as we kept calling for it, but it looks like we might be able to finally call Baltimore dead.
Yes. I absolutely agree. You know what? I have to give them so much credit for hanging around this long. Every week I come on the show, and the one consistent thing I say is that Baltimore is dead, and they've hung around for so long, but this was a terrible week for them. You know, they got swept by Boston. It was ugly. You got to give credit to the Red Sox. I mean, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're really playing well down the stretch. And, you know, now Toronto is 5.5 back. Baltimore is now 7 games back. They're out of this division. And congrats to the Red Sox. I mean, they were my pick. I think we made it official a few months ago. I thought the Red Sox out of this 3-headed monster, I thought they were going to come out on top. And they did. Major thanks to Rick Porcello. I mean, 20-game winner. This guy's had quite a year. And I think you got to put him in a Cy Young competition.
Yeah, how come he gets no love for the Cy Young? I mean, he's 21 and whatever. I mean, the guy's gone... I think 12 or 13 starts is pitching 7 innings or more. I mean, why doesn't he get any love for that? I don't understand.
I think he'll get some love. I mean, you know, he doesn't have the best ERA, 3.08, but I mean, that's still great, you know, and going 21-4. I know wins and losses are something that for pitchers isn't always indicative, but I mean, all the guy's done for the Red Sox has made them a better team. And when he gets out on the mound, they win games. He's been the best pitcher on the team this year. I mean, I know they had David Price, but you know, Porcello has been the guy who's carried them through, and it's a great thing to see. I think he definitely got to be comeback player of the year. I mean, you know, he came out last year with a 4.39 ERA, and I believe his career ERA is right around there. So, I mean, 27-year-old guy, he's having a tremendous season, and, you know, he's going to be a major factor in the playoff race because, I mean, if he doesn't pitch well for the Red Sox, mean, but besides David Price, they don't have really any guys to lean on. And, so he's going to be a big piece.
Yeah, I told you, David Price, he's now nine. He won nine in a row. I said, wait for the second half. He'll make it back up to you, and there he is. Tra-la,
yep,
tra-la.
Just like he did for Toronto last year.
You know, he's and so now we've got Toronto's got the lead. Detroit is in the second position for the wild card. And, of course, Seattle and Houston are two games back. What's your thought? Who's the wild card? I think Toronto definitely gets in. So who's the other team, in your opinion?
Yeah, I agree with you on Toronto. And you know what? I would love to say the Yankees. Just I think they've had an incredible season from the perspective that they completely sold off of the deadline. But they're 3-7 in their last 10. They had a big shot to move up this week. I would love to say them. The second team, I kind of like Seattle. You know, it's tough being two games back. It's like 10 to go. But I think they are the best team after Toronto, you know, in that five-team race. But you look at Baltimore's, you know, still right up there. But they just have not been playing good baseball in their pitching. You know, we saw Chris Tillman the other night, won an inning in two-thirds, couldn't even get to the third inning. He was pretty brutal. I think they're going to fall off even more. Houston's been kind of hanging around. And Seattle's been kind of just hanging around, so this is tough for me. But I'm going to go with Toronto and Seattle as my final two.
Yeah, I could say Detroit's always been a, in my opinion, they just find a way to lose. They find a way to disappoint you. So as we move to the National League, we've got a virtual tie, the Mets and San Francisco, and then of course St. Louis. Lost to the Cubs yesterday, so they're a half game or a game out. But they've got the pedigree, and the Mets lose. You know, they haven't had him for a while, but Mal Mats is out for the season. They keep Patrick Bartolo Colon, their ace, but they. It's
amazing. Yeah, I mean, there's only a few things that are constant in this league, and Bartolo Colon is one of those things.
It's amazing what an icon he's become. After going down for, you know, steroid use and, you know, getting bombasted, and all of a sudden now he's like the folk hero of baseball, a big fat guy who just keeps throwing the ball, 44 years old, whatever the hell he is. Can the Giants hold on? I mean, their bullpen has blown 30 games this year. Can they hold on and be one of the teams? Can it be the Mets in San Francisco, or does St. Louis show their pedigree and come back? What do you see? How do you see it?
Well, this thing has been a war of attrition. I mean, none of these three teams have come out and said that they want to win this wild card spot. And it's been pretty brutal to watch. I mean, these teams over the past 2 months. I mean, the Giants in particular had one of the worst second halves I've ever seen. But for me, I'm going to take two teams. It's going to be the Giants and the Cardinals. I think the Mets losing Steven Matz is a big blow to them. I know they're technically atop the wild card standings right now, but I think San Francisco and St. Louis find a way to hold on. You know, I can't say that they're going to come out and grab it because, you know, we've been waiting 150 games for one of these teams to show up and play well. But I'm going to go with the Cards and the Giants, and I think the Mets have a rough last week. That's my prediction.
I mean, listen, anything can happen, but the Mets all of a sudden, you know, Cespedes is becoming Cespedes again. Jay Bruce, what a dog acquisition that turned out to be.
Guy hasn't even hit over $2 since he came over. He did four home runs.
It's amazing. And of course, Cespedes hit one. He hit two the other night. One was not really a rob. I mean, it was just to the wall. It could have been a home run if the guy missed it. But the other one, robbed him of a home run against Atlanta. That would have been another win for him. But, you know, I don't know. San Francisco's puzzling. But certainly, I got news for you. If I'm the Cubs, I don't want to see San Francisco. I mean, you know, in a five-game series. I mean, you know, Baumgartner and Cueto, that's pretty good stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Cueto is having another fantastic year. I mean, 17-5, I think, you know, ERA, I think is a little below three. I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, he's been, you know, basically the cornerstone of this Giants team this year. I mean, Madison Bumgarner has had a pretty damn good year as well, but I mean, without Johnny Cueto, I mean, San Francisco, they might be under 500 right now. I mean, the way they played, you got to give Johnny Cueto credit. Almost every time he comes out on the mound, you know, San Francisco usually finds a way to win. So this is going to be an important last week and very excited to watch. But, you know, none of these three teams have been impressive this year. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch the last week. Who is going to take the fall and who's going to actually come up and seize victory?
Right. So I think that, you know, St. Louis is just awfully rough. I think the Mets are going to hold on. I say San Francisco and the Mets. I think that St. Louis, they're just really rough. They don't play good defense, which is very uncharacteristic. of St. Louis. I think Matheny this year, I love him as a manager. I think he's a great manager, and he's one of the best, I think, in the game. But I think this year he kind of screwed around too much with Randall Grichuk, because it turns out Grichuk is what everybody thought he was, but they kept bouncing him up and down. I think it took him time to get ready, and so just letting him play. And their defense has been abysmal. So I think that's what's going to end up. And, of course, they've still got two games with the Cubs, this weekend. So, we'll see how that plays out. But anything goes. Who's your Cy Young of the National League in your mind?
National League, I think I'm going to have to go with my man, Kyle Hendricks. I mean, he's had an unbelievable season, and I think he's got to win it right now. I mean, it'd be a beautiful thing to see. I mean, a guy who was pegged as, maybe the fourth or fifth starter for this Cubs team this year has come out and been the workhorse. I mean, him and John Lester have been the two best pitchers on this team this year, and Hendricks, I think Hendricks has to take the Cy Young.
Yeah, he could. I don't know. Who gets it in the American League?
The American League, I think we talked about him. I think it's going to be Rick Porcello. I mean, there's a couple of choices there, but, I think you look at the best pitcher in that league, I think it's Porcello this year. I mean, he's, a lot of wins, a lot of good things for the Red Sox, and I know the ERA, he's not, ahead and everybody in ERA, but I think he's been the best pitcher in the American League this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he should get a lot more love than he's getting. That's for sure. I think he's been outstanding. And of course, the number one guy everybody likes to talk about was Chris Sale, but he's certainly fallen off the map. And everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy the football. And we should be 4-0 when we come back next week. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast. We will see you back here next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.